Episode 81. Welcome to the Take Up Code podcast, where you can learn valuable insights and skills in programming. I'm Wahid Tanner and will be your host today. The visitor behavioral pattern allows you to perform actions on a collection of different types where the actions depend on the types. The best way to become a professional programmer is to start writing code. If you're not actually typing code, building it, and running it, then you're missing more than half of what you need to be doing. Have you considered attending a Take Up Code live class? Text PROGRAM to the short number 44222 and you'll be on your way. The basic description says that this pattern represents an operation that can be performed on a collection of objects and allow new operations to be defined without changing the objects. There are all kinds of collections, and episodes 39 through 44 describe just a few. And episode 66 describes the composite structural pattern, which allows you to group objects together and treat them as a single object. All of these collections have one thing in common, though. Everything in the collection must have something in common, and that common part is what the collection refers to. If we use the adventure game example and consider a backpack, the hero might have many different types of objects in the backpack, from apples to clothing to weapons. In order for the backpack to be able to reference them all, there needs to be something in common, probably an interface called inventory item that each object implements. Then the backpack can have pointers to many inventory items. This works great, and you can even put methods in the common interface that all the objects should implement. Maybe anything in inventory has a weight. So it seems like a good idea to declare a method called weight. Now you can iterate through each item in inventory and add up the total weight by asking each item for its weight. Here's where you run into a problem, though. What if the hero's backpack gets wet? The normal approach would be to add another method called makeWet to the common interface so that each item could implement it. What if an evil opponent casts a spell on the hero to rot any food? That would be another method. And the really bad thing about this is that not every inventory item is food. It doesn't make sense for a sword to now have to implement a rot food method. As the number of operations increases, the problem only gets worse. You could end up needing to define hundreds of operations in the common inventory item interface that each object type needs to implement. But what other choice do you have? Because from outside the collection, there's no way to tell an apple from a sword. Everything is this common interface. Whenever you find yourself with a fixed number of object types, or at least a set of object types that rarely changes, and a dynamic and growing list of operations that needs to be performed on the objects, then this design pattern will save the day, and probably save the entire project. The implementation is a little involved, so I'll explain it all right after this message from our sponsor. The one thing that all professional programmers share is that we take action. Go ahead, text PROGRAM to the number 44222 now. It's hard, I know, to get started, and if you need some help, then all you need to do is register for one of the Take Up Code free or paid live classes. You can attend with just your computer and an internet connection from anywhere in the world. These are live workshops instead of just lectures. You get enough lecturing already. These are fun workshops. You have enough boring tasks already. And these are focused on results. Text the word PROGRAM to the number 44222 and you'll be on your way. You can also visit takeupcode.com to begin. The secret to implementing the visitor design pattern involves something called double dispatch. I've already explained how virtual methods work in episode 25. You might want to listen to that episode first if you don't know what virtual methods are and how to use them. You probably won't understand this explanation without that background knowledge. A virtual method allows you to select which method will be called based on the actual type of the object that the method is called on. Don't confuse this with method overloading, which also allows you to select which method to call based on the method name and the type of parameters used to call the method. When you put both concepts of method overloading and method overwriting together, you have the ability to select the actual method that will be called. The method overloading will first select the best method signature based on the parameter types, and then the method overwriting will perform a single dispatch to find the actual method based on the specific type of object that exists. In other words, there could be some code that calls a rot food method on an inventory item pointer, which happens to point to a specific inventory item of type sword. This will end up executing the sword's version of the rot food method. Had the inventory item pointed to an apple instead, then the apple's version of rot food would have been called. The dispatch is selected based on the type of object pointed to when the method call is made. Now, what if the rot food method itself needs a parameter? Let's say this parameter type is of type spell. There needs to be a spell class, or more likely a spell interface that all spells can derive from. A single dispatch system like I just described doesn't look at the actual type of the parameter spell. It only looks to see that some parameter of type spell was used to call the rot food method, and this is used to select between multiple different overloaded versions of the rot food method, if applicable. When the method finally resolves to some real code, the method in the code has no idea what specific type of spell was used. We're back to the old problem of working with the derived type through a base type. When all we know is the base type, we don't know what the actual derived type is. Virtual methods can help resolve this somewhat like I just described, but they only go so far. What we need is a way to perform a double dispatch. Something that not only selects the right method based on the type handling the method, but also based on the actual type of a parameter. Some programming languages, such as Lisp, already support this feature. I haven't used languages like this, so don't have direct experience to explain them yet. If your language does support double dispatching, then you may not need this design pattern. Assuming you do, here's how to implement it. We're going to reverse the approach that I described in the beginning. Instead of declaring all the methods, such as make wet and rot food, in the inventory item interface, you only need to declare a single method called accept, which takes as its only parameter a new interface called visitor. If you previously were looking at hundreds of methods that could be performed on inventory items, you're now down to just one, and it'll stay at just one method called accept. Now, for the accept method to take an interface called visitor, that means we'll need a new interface called visitor. What methods will visitor need? Is this where those hundreds of operations go? No. That would just shift things around without actually making them better. What goes in the visitor interface are methods for each type of inventory item. This will result in methods such as visit apple, visit cloak, and visit sword, for example. Now, you might be able to make these methods more general if needed, so maybe you can get away with visit food, visit clothing, and visit weapon. You'll have to work with this to come up with the best structure. The point is, though, that the various visit methods represent all the different types of items that can be visited or that can exist in the collection or in the composite. This is why I said this pattern is good if these types are fixed or rarely change. All that's left now is to create concrete types that implement the visitor pattern. This is where you add the hundreds of operations. So you'll have a make wet visitor and a rot food visitor class. Whenever you need to add a new operation, just create a new concrete class that implements the visitor interface. You no longer have to change any other code. This pattern is optimized to handle operations like this that were always being added or even removed. All right, so how does this result in a double dispatch? We're almost done. You start out with a collection of various items in the backpack, and they're all of type inventory item, which has the accept method. So you call accept and pass whatever specific operation type you need. Let's say this is the rot food operation. This will be passed as a simple visitor interface. The first dispatch happens when the actual inventory item gets resolved to an apple. The Apple's version of accept gets called. And here's the second dispatch. The Apple code calls the visitor back through the visit Apple or through the visit food method, whichever you decided to go with. Now we're back in the visitor concrete implementation of rot food, and the visit food method was just called. Everything matches, and we can perform the operation and cause the food to go bad. Had this instead been a sword, then the sword's accept method would have been called, which would call back into the visitor with the visit weapon method. The rot food operation would know that it was a piece of metal being visited and would do nothing. The end result is that we're now able to first determine the specific type of inventory item and then determine the specific type of visitor. You now have the ability to add many more operations without changing any code in the objects that are being visited. Everything gets handled with the right visitor and with the right object. Thank you for listening. Make sure to check out the other episodes, and if you get value, please give the Take Up Code podcast a rating, hopefully 5 stars, and a review. I'll select several people who take the time to provide thoughtful reviews, good or bad, and give you a shout-out and a big thank you during our Q&A Fridays. Your support goes a long way to helping this podcast thrive and help others learn how to program. If you have any questions about this episode or even other programming questions, please ask. Just go to takeupcode.com/contact and submit your question. The Q&A Friday episodes are where I'll answer one or more submitted questions. Until next time, keep learning. But even better, keep doing. If you want to learn how to program, then start programming. And you'll learn and get better, and your mind will expand in ways you never thought possible.